Oh, hi, podcast listeners. There's many ways you can listen to the Real Nerds Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio. You want to send us a Twitter message? You can do that. It's so easy, at Real Nerds. Like us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. You can visit our website, realnerdspodcast.com, where there'll be a lot of articles for you to not only read, but to listen to our previous shows. Do you like your stories told through pictures? Then you can also follow us at Real Nerds on Instagram. You can also call us, 720-6NERDS5. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
doesn't
can...
Doesn't talk film! I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will give it all they got. Lights, camera, action!
Hey, all you crazy movie watchers. This is Real Nerds Podcast, and we are the best movie podcast in all the internet. I am Ryan, joined by Brad.
The best movie podcast without a website right now.
it'll get fixed. I have faith in you.
It's just like I don't have the time to do it, but there's no other way to do it at this point, unless you want to spend a ton of money, which I don't.
Well, what is a ton of money?
Like $300.
Oh, fuck. That is a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know, once I sell my house and buy a new house, it asks me that.
Yeah. No, I think it's just the cheap, affordable way is for me to go back through all 700 plus episodes and reformat them to a new theme. So RAP me.
Yeah, that sounds horrible. Well, yeah. Better get going on it.
Especially since I've already done it twice in the history of our, and obviously we have more episodes since we last did this in 2018. So yeah, it's,
yeah, I went on the site. The site is different now.
Yeah, I bought a new theme earlier this year to use on my own website. And so it has unlimited usage. So I just copied that to ours and, so, like, in a WordPress, everything's formatted as a post. Obviously, you make posts, but mm-hmm. The episodes are formatted as episodes, and the base theme doesn't recognize episodes. It doesn't know how to, like, put them. It doesn't know how to put them on the website. Like, they're there. They haven't gone mm-hmm. anywhere, but it doesn't know how to display them. So I have to either buy a yearly membership to this thing that'll do it, or I go and turn them into posts. So, yeah.
Well, you know what? When it's all nice and looks good, I'll let everybody know.
Yeah, it sucks. Like all that architecture is like and turning in like behind a paywall. Like mm-hmm. the thing that builds it, Elementor, when we got it, had like all these options, and now they're getting stingy and being like, "Oh, episode post display. That's a pay per usage thing. Like used to be a part of the package, but now you got to pay an extra fee for that one."
Oh yeah, it's everything now. It sucks. Yeah. I mean, it truly sucks.
Sorry you guys don't know how to make money anymore, other than, like, ruining your stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, but you can still access some of our stuff. We'll fix it. We just don't have a huge team working. We have one dude.
Yeah. All because every time, like, someone writes new code, like, WordPress code changes, and then all the themes have to update it, and, like, it's either wait for the guys who made our theme to like catch up, which could be never. Like they could just like not develop it anymore, or we redo it. Which I'm just like, I'll redo it, I guess.
Yeah, well, whatever you think, because I don't know how to do anything. this week on Real Nerds Podcast, we saw this 4:30 movie. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not. Play the trailer, then spoil the film. We also talk about movies we watched throughout the week and movie news, if there is any. I don't remember any, but I do want to touch on something that I got to do that was really cool, Brad, and because you were busy with a 40-hour film project.
Yeah, I didn't think I would be as busy. I kind of dropped the ball on helping you out.
Yeah, you freaking asshole.
Yeah. Yep, that was a busy weekend. Like everyone had something going on that was something we needed to do, and I was like, I guess Ryan's seasoned enough in this endeavor to do this by himself with Zach.
Yeah, well, the only problem was, so yeah, big shout out to Zach who helped me, is I didn't know I was doing actual interviews.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Colorado Festival of Horror was this weekend, and I applied for a media pass because Smurf, who runs it, said we should. And I thought it'd be cool to go see it. You know, I don't have a problem with that and post things on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, X,
Yeah.
whatever I need to do. You know, I'm totally cool with that.
I wanted to go do that. Yeah.
And then about 2 days before the con, and I know this because I had to go ask the chief of police, I mean my boss, if I was a police officer, I had to go ask my boss if it's cool if I take off Friday because I got pegged to interview like people that I really actually really like. I got to interview the two original final girls from Friday the 13th, Adrienne King and Amy Steele, which you can see on our website. And I didn't know till the day before. So I ended up being able to go. You were busy with your 48-hour film project. They needed someone who could use an SD card and like be there with me. And I'm like, fuck, I have to do this interview. I can't do both. So I asked Zach, and Zach said he was free to help for a little bit. So he met me there, and the interviews were at 10 in the morning. That's super early, on a Friday. So I got to interview those two ladies who, by the way, are wonderful. And you can actually see that interview right now on Facebook because our website is wonky. But we posted on Facebook really fast after Zach edited it because the guy who was supposed to do their AV for the con got COVID. So they had nobody. And so Zach also filmed a different angle on his iPhone and he cut it with the static camera that they set up. So I interviewed those two ladies. I also interviewed Tom McLaughlin and Tom Matthews, the director and writer and star of my favorite Friday the 13th, Jason Lives. And I also interviewed an author named Stephen Graham Jones, who wrote several horror novels, and a lot of them are based on Native American folklore. And he wrote a comic book. And it was really fun. It was hard because I only had 15 minutes to talk to two people. And it's really hard to ask deep questions when you only have 15 minutes and there's two people. So I kind of stuck to what I knew. That Amy Steele and Adrienne King were so nice. They said I asked really great questions. The Tom's interview went really well, but surprisingly, the interview that was the most fascinating was the author. And I had not read any of his books, but I happened to pick up one of his books randomly at Barnes and Noble last week.
Whoa.
And didn't even know it.
That's w crazy.
Yeah, because he wrote this book. I was a teenage slasher, and so I was at Barnes and Noble, and they had a signed copy. And I read the back of it. It's like, oh, this sounds pretty interesting. I'll get it. And yeah, so I ended up interviewing him. But he was really fascinating to talk to. We had a really good interview. And yeah, I thought it went really well. The con was really fun. Zach Bynes did a really funny panel with Tiffany Shepis. It was just really fun. It was fun to talk to him, and you know, because he and we talked about how he bailed you out in your previous 40-hour film
He did.
project. And he said it. He's surprised that it turned out how it did. So good job, Brad.
Surprise good or surprised that it turned out like shit?
No, good. Because
Okay.
you know, it's one of those things where he said, you know, we were trying to do something at the last second, and I hope I helped. And he says, I thought it turned out pretty well. So yeah, it was just kind of funny because I heard your side of it and then hearing his side when I was at the con. all positive. He just, because I just was curious and, you know, how he pulled it off. So yeah, it was lots of fun. So thanks to Smurf. Cause that was the last second thing of me actually doing interviews. But it was worth it because I got to interview really fun people. And they were all wonderful. And the con was pretty cool. Pretty, it's nice because it was a little more intimate than the cons we're used to. And we didn't have a table. So I didn't have to feel like I had to be on the whole time.
Yeah.
Which was nice. So yeah, that's.
I miss doing cons like that.
Yeah. It was nice because then I also, you know, I didn't have to stay the whole time. I was able to take pictures, go to a panel, then I went and had lunch, then I'd come back. And yeah, and no one said anything and everyone was really nice. And, yeah, that's my experience. This week on Real Nerds Podcast, we saw the 4:30 movie. Brad, do you recommend the 4:30 movie?
Oh gosh. not really. It was pretty boring for me. I mean, it's one of the best looking Kevin Smith films I've ever seen. I love their recreation of the 80s time period, but no one was saying anything that I cared about. It's really just like he recreated a period in his life and like he gets to just enjoy that he recreated it. So I'm not sure what I'm supposed to get out of it, but yeah. What'd you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like it wasn't a bad movie, but, the actors in it, to me, and this just is my opinion of the lead actors, is they didn't have, and I think Kevin Smith even played it a little safe.
Yeah.
And they weren't as, engaging as Brody or, Randall. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I just didn't get that. And this is the problem I think sometimes with Kevin Smith's movies is he keeps on casting his daughter's boyfriend in as the lead. And I have nothing against the guy. Like he's fine, but he's just not a lead material. You know, he doesn't command the screen like Jason Lee did in Mallrats.
Yeah. Well, this time he's basically Kevin Smith. So it's like, I wouldn't even say like Kevin Smith is like a lead character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm a little conflicted on this one. It's not bad. It just exists. Here's the trailer for the 4:30 movie.
She is unlike any nun you've ever met. And she's got a secret.
How come the nuns were never secret hookers when we were in school?
Let's see what's under that wig.
Oh, hell no!
Say a prayer for Sister Sugar Walls.
Well, we're definitely seeing that.
Outside a new day is gone. May 25th, 1986. Today is a big day.
Last summer, I was too scared to ask out Melody Barney, the raddest woman I ever met. But this morning, I invited her to the movies, and she said,
okay.
Seriously? Hold on 1 second. Cool. I'll see you at the 4:30 movie, Melody Barney.
I'll see you at the 4:30 movie.
Well, holy shit, Billy Idol. When's the white wedding?
I've been thinking about asking Melody out all year. We made out in her pool last summer.
One time, with your shirt on.
And you wonder why you don't get laid.
I don't get laid because I'm Catholic.
We'll save seats, you get snacks.
You can't give them cutsies when they get back. I'll tell my dad.
I don't care what you tell your dad, little kid.
Dad, he showed me his privates.
He did what?
You disgust me! You three stooges are banned for life! Fuck my left nut! Not today!
So much drama. I thought we're supposed to be seeing a comedy.
We're the kids in America.
Oh my God!
Hoorah! What in the damn hell?
What about me?
Jesus Christ!
Most people come to movies to escape their lives, but people like you come here because movies make life make sense.
You're the coolest girl I ever met, and all I want to do is watch movies with you.
Is that so?
Mom?
What the hell are you doing sneaking into R-rated movies? You're in trouble, Missy.
I'm terrified by what's about to happen.
What do you want to do?
Have sex and get pregnant.
That'll show her.
If that's what you need.
Remember Rocky IV?
Yeah.
When he just like punched him so hard. Yeah. Remember that?
It was the climax.
He climaxed?
The 4:30 movie involves this guy named Brian David who asks out this girl that he fooled around with in the pool the summer earlier to the 4:30 movie of this. I guess it's supposed to be like Fletch is what I got from the poster.
Yeah.
And that's rated R, so they have to sneak in. And he has a friend named Belly and Bruni. And they go see movies all the time. And this movie theater's manager, played by Ken Jeong, is an asshole, and he's runs it. And it's just basically like they're meeting random characters at this movie theater. And I don't know, man. Like, it seemed too safe for me, you know?
I've heard this story on his podcast of like his time at the Atlantic Highlands Theater. You know, famously like ditching his pizza job to go see Batman mm-hmm. and stuff. And, yeah, this very much feels like, that story just like, hey, I did it. I recreated, you know, this experience in my life, but like, there's no analysis of it in the movie.
Yeah.
It's like, it just happens. Like,
yeah,
I guess there's the push and pull of like him and his two friends. Like, you know, obviously they're Ernie O'Donnell and Bellicose. It's like the names changed, but like, yeah, like there's a really quickly fractured friendship because, you know, one guy's into girls a lot and the other guy's just like playing it safe and like he's like ready to marry this girl.
I know.
Who's he's had a crush on for like a year and finally asked her out again. But like, yeah, it's just all stuff I've heard on the podcast. I'm like, I'm just watching it, but there's no like, you know, cool vignettes like in Clerks of just like heightened things happening or, you know, there's no real strong heartfelt stuff like in Chasing Amy, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, he seemed to play it safe. There was no, no character like Brody. I think, the Bruni guy was supposed to be like it.
Yeah. But the wackiest thing is Ken Jeong, the theater owner.
Yeah.
Who just seems like he's improvising the whole time.
You know, I think the person that I thought was the funniest was, Justin Long's character.
Yeah. Stank.
Was his name Stank?
Yeah, I think so.
He was just weird. Uh-huh. And I really liked it. Cause that's when I started getting into it. I said, okay, if he just meets heightened versions of people he knows, then I'm totally down with this movie. But then it just seemed to just waddle through, you know, and there wasn't the vocabulary wasn't as biting. And it, you know, I think back to Mallrats where Brody's saying, that kid is back on the escalator again. There's no urgency to the movie. It's just we're hanging out and I'm sure all those kids are fine people, but they just didn't grab me like characters in his earlier films.
Yeah. Like I said, no one's saying anything terribly interesting. Like there's no, you know, there's no Randall talking about the Death Star type stuff. It's just literally, hey, we gotta go watch these movies and like we gotta figure out like Bellicose or Belly gets stuck outside and has to like go through the back to get in. There's like an usher that has like a lot of wisdom. Like basically the Silent Bob part happens, mm-hmm. like the monologue. And like the theater owner's like a movie buff. But yeah, he's a dick. And like, there's all these calls from his mom, like directly to the theater that he's never worked at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And that's,
and Jason Lee shows up as his dad. It's just like, they're in there. Cause like, oh, I want to have like my mom and dad represented in this time period, you know?
Yeah. And really the only line that I laughed out loud at was Sam Richardson, where he's like, I'm going to storm their cheeks like Omaha Beach. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, there's like a Mr. or I guess like a Mr. T Sergeant Slaughter mashup going on with that.
Like Major Murder.
Yeah. And that's only in there because like I forget the other friends, the Ernie O'Donnell friend, like has to have some sage give him advice on what's going on. And it's like, okay, that's random. It wasn't like Red Man in it early on, like on the docks, and you're just like, oh, this is probably gonna come back later. Nope.
Nope.
It's just another cameo.
Talking about E.T.
Yeah,
it's just, and that Austin Zagier guy or whatever his name is, it just, he doesn't have the gravitas to carry a film. You know, he's not Ben Affleck in Chasing Amy or Dogma, you know?
Yeah. But I don't know, I buy him as like a 17-year-old Kevin Smith, though.
Yeah, but
like, if you ever listen to like when Kevin Smith does the like he would read his old like play his old cassette tapes of him like just like his journal, I guess, or something. Like that's very much what he feels like.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just huh. it's not interesting stuff.
Yeah. And it's not a bad movie. And I think the music by Bear McCreary through is really good. It fits the theme really well. But I just wanted to be more. And the movie trailers they're showing beforehand just weren't that interesting. And then,
You got Beaver. Dietrich Bader as the Beaver Slayer or something.
Yeah. It just wore out its welcome so fast.
Yeah. It's so like green screen for one thing, like on a soundstage. But yeah, like the Nun one was even better. But yeah, I actually passed out during it, so I missed Jason Mewes in it.
Yeah, but that one is still just okay too, because it did fit in the because it takes place in 86, and that definitely had a 1970s sexploitation vibe to it.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah,
it
would have been more fun if it was like a Mallrats in a theater type deal. Yeah. Yeah, and then there's also like the emo Usher, which is like okay.
Yep.
I can't remember what he said.
Yeah, well, he was talking about, you know, they kept on doing a thing like they're never gonna make what you're gonna watch episodes 1, 2, and 3. It's supposed to be these lines where you're going, oh, they're doing it, you don't even know what you're saying is they're eventually gonna do.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I like that he did go back to that kind of movie. So I'm hoping his next movie will build on it and be better.
Yeah, and the 4:30 movie isn't even like the movie. Like, eventually things go awry and they have to go to the 7 o'clock movie.
And then they don't even see that one either.
Yeah.
I really want to see the something from Dentist School because I thought that sounded funny.
Yeah, that poster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I think his style would have been fit better for just like a day in like a theater, like them trying to see this movie and they just keep getting stopped from doing it. But yeah, it doesn't really happen. It's just, yeah, a lot of just those three dudes hanging out, and I don't remember what they talked about. It wasn't that interesting.
Yep. Anywho.
But it looked really good. Like the cinematography was like way better than, God, was the last one. Even Clerks 3, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, there's some moments in the film that work well. I like his last little bit with her at the end, even though it's a little cheesy. I still liked it.
It was cute, but it was also like anticlimactic. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I thought there's like something else was going to happen, but yeah, it just ended there. I was like, okay. And then the post-credits thing was fun, but feels like set up for like, you know, another movie, which I don't think there would be one.
No, my favorite part about, did you read the credits?
Maybe.
There's this great part at the end where it says, come see movies at, what's the name of his theater?
Smod Castle Cinemas, yeah.
Yeah, Smod Castle Cinemas. And it's cool if you sneak around and see other films. If you get caught, say Kev says it's cool.
Yeah.
So I like that. That was pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, it's harmless. I just wish it was a little more biting and had a little more oomph to it.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm trying to think. I don't remember any news this week. Am I missing anything?
Not that I can remember. I mean, yeah. James Earl Jones died.
That is true. That's kind of, you know, he had such a cool voice.
Iconic.
Oh, yeah. It's so commanding. And but even it could tug on your heartstrings, you know, when he's in Field of Dreams or even The Sandlot. He's one of those actors that you close your eyes and you know instantly who he is. And yeah. And what a body of work. And I mean, I watched a tribute to him on, he was on TCM, and they talked about, you know, his stage work too, and super impressive, and definitely a legend and an icon that, you know, he was 93, so, and his body of work was so incredible that he obviously will live forever.
Well, and literally, he sold his voice to like AI. So,
oh, did he?
Yeah, they can mine. They can, yeah, so that Disney can make Darth Vader stuff. So he's like, yeah, I'll sell my. So they, you know, had him read a bunch of things and put it in the AI generator, and now can like pump out Vader as much as they want.
Oh, cool. As long as he okayed it, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I heard he okayed it. That could just be like PR. But I mean, I feel like he would, because like,
yeah,
those residuals would go to his family. So
yeah, I mean, that's a way. Yeah, your family will always be paid, and
yeah,
you know, put your grandkids, their grandkids, through college. Why not? I mean, I'm one of those people that, I mean, I, if I was famous, I would okay them using my likeness and image. Who cares?
All right, it's only $150,000 to use Ryan in this porn. Got it.
Yeah. Yes, please do. And then
we need a spokesperson for our white supremacist rally. Ryan Frost's avatar is available.
You know what? And it, hey, will it put his kid through college? Then just do it. Right on. Rest in peace, but, you know, watch Star Wars or something, or even The Lion King tonight.
Or Conan the Barbarian.
Or Conan the Barbarian, or Field of Dreams, or Sandlot.
Or one of the Jack Ryan movies.
Oh, yeah. We watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, yeah, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Quite a bit of stuff. Still watching the 80s music videos, but let's see. New stuff I caught was Between the Temples. I don't know if you saw the trailer for that.
Uh-oh.
That's kind of a mumblecore movie with Jason Schwartzman and Carol Kane. Jason Schwartzman is like one of the, he's at a Jewish temple. He's like the guy who does like the music, or like the chanting, the singing type stuff.
I have seen a trailer for this.
Yeah. And then Carol Kane is like his former teacher, who like comes back into his life because she wants to have a bat mitzvah. She never had one. And so he has to train her to do it, I guess. I'm not an expert on Judaism, so I, you know, did my best watching this movie. But it kind of devolves into kind of a Harold and Maude thing. Where, you know, he's sort of getting attracted to this, I assume, like 70-year-old woman at this point. Yeah. Yeah, it's just like a fun dramatic piece, very small, just about these two people meeting, and the finale is super awkward when he confesses his love for her in the like middle of like Thanksgiving dinner, and like his family's trying to hook him up with this other girl who's like related to the main guy, and yeah, he's just not interested in her, but yeah, so. You know, there's these power dynamics of like marrying into it, like this family, so they can like, yeah, I don't know, strengthen the church or whatever, or temple, whatever. But yeah, I think it's just like, if you want to like just sit in an awkward movie, like that's a good one. Yeah. Then I also watched My Old Ass. I went to
the Aubrey Plaza one, right?
Yeah, it was the Regal mystery movie of the week.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it was, not that interesting. I think it's all laid out in the trailer. This younger girl gets high on mushrooms and then meets Aubrey Plaza, who's the older version of herself. And even after the mushrooms, she can still communicate with her through her cell phone. So she's getting like updates on what her future's like. And then her future's also telling Larry, don't fall in love with this boy because it's going to be bad. And then I kind of figured out early on, it's either, he hurts her or he dies. And that's why it's bad. She causes his death. But it's pretty close to that. He just, dies. And it's really tough for her to deal with. And she, her older self never wants her to like experience that. So she tries to sabotage it by saying like, just avoid that guy. And then, really quickly in the first couple scenes, she's going off to college. So she's kind of like checked out of her family. And then like after the phone, after meeting her old ass, she like really quickly like reconnects with her family. Like, oh, these people, I'm going to miss them. And, they have a cranberry farm, whatever, that's going to get, sold. And she suddenly realizes like, oh, I kind of want to stay, in this moment rather than go to the future. It's all right. And then the last thing I saw, which was great, is the Casa Bonita Mia Moore documentary.
Damn, I want to see that so bad.
Dude, you've been getting a lot of extra chances because like
I know
it's been sold out so much that they keep adding shows.
Is it something that'd be entertaining for Kellen?
Oh yeah.
Because it's hard for me find time without him, and so I was thinking if I could take him, is it fun enough for him?
Oh yeah, it's fun. Like I think the only bad thing is like there's probably some f-bombs, some language. But it's not like a surprising documentary. Like going into it, you're like, oh yeah, these guys bought it and then found out that it sucks and they spent way more money to renovate it than than smartly to do. So
it's like a renovation documentary, really.
Yeah, it's like a Kitchen Nightmares documentary. Like you get to see some like early 70s like behind the scenes of it, and it's really bolstered by the fact that like Trey Parker and Matt Stone are in it, and more Trey than Matt. But Trey jokes about all the horrible stuff that's going on, making light of the situation, but
yeah. You ruined my kid to that.
Yeah, it's fun. Like, you get to see like really deep inside how problematic the structure was. Like it probably should have been torn down, but thankfully they loved it so much that they spent like four times what they paid for it to fix it.
The cool Blu-ray place in Colorado called The Archive, which is Vinegar Syndromes, is moving over there.
Yeah. So that's
pretty cool.
I know. I also go to my weird theater over there at the Memento Mori Gallery in that complex. So that's going to be a hopping place pretty soon.
Well, it's cool because it's really hard to get to The Archive before. Yeah. Now it's,
going to be really nearby. Easy. Yeah. The documentary is great. And definitely check it out. Yeah. Take Kellen. It's harmless.
Cool. Well, when I tell you what I watched this week, it's going to be super harmless. Kellen has been, there's this game that he's been playing on this platform called Dreams that's on PlayStation, where it's like Super Mario Maker, but you're not confined to Mario games. You can just really make any game you want. And this game that he's been playing is called Slashers, where some guy created all these slashers in it. And so he wanted to watch a movie with one of them. So I showed him Friday the 13th Part 7, which I said, this one's not too scary because they telegraph everything Jason's doing. But then I forgot there's tons of nudity in it. tons is a big stretch. There's like three or four moments. But,
it's a telepathy one, right?
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Who cares? And he watched it and he liked it. So, and he told me he wasn't scared. And he every time boobs came on the screen, he just went boobs. So, whatever. What are you going to do? So that's
just like dad.
Yeah. So, Casa Bonita Mia Moore is, as long as it's not.
Yeah. There's dead pigeons on the roof. That's like the most death in the movie. Yeah.
So yeah. So yeah. So Friday 13th Part 7 is fun. It's not the best. It's not the worst. Jason looks the coolest in it, so that's why it's always has a place on my list of I'll watch it. You know. And the only other thing I watched is I finally got my steelbook of Late Night with the Devil, which I hadn't seen. And the steelbook came out like 2 weeks ago. And for some reason, they just kept on getting delayed being shipped to me. And on my order on Amazon, it kept saying that we don't know when this is going to be back in stock. And I was like, fuck. Cause usually I pre-order them right away. So I get them. And then when one random day I got a text from Amazon saying it was going to arrive tomorrow. So yeah, I got it. And that movie is pretty good.
Yeah.
I like the format of it. It's found footage, but it's not constrained by the setup of being found footage. Where, you know, usually it's some amateur person holding a camera and, you know,
yeah, they have to, yeah,
yeah, they have to make some sort of caveat for them why they have a camera. And it slowly builds and it's pretty fun. And then it gets gory and the performance is in it are really great. A nice small contained movie that definitely delivers on the horror aspect. And, the steelbook is awesome. It looks really cool and it comes with a bunch of, I guess bunch isn't the right word, but it comes with some swag. Comes with a sticker, a patch, and, lobby cards. So it's cool that, Lionsgate, I think, put it out and says they usually do stuff little extra for the steelbook. And the steelbook was only like $25.
Yeah.
So yeah. So it was a pleasantly surprising movie. I heard it was good. And when I was at Telluride in October, it was always sold out. So,
yeah, I saw it back in February in the theater and like I was on board with it until I heard about all the use of AI they had in it.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like a lot of their like that opening montage, I guess. Some like the interstitials, like they just, you know, stole other people's work and put in the movie. So that sucks.
Yeah. Lame. Anywho.
But, yeah. A bit of a drag on what would otherwise be like a pretty good movie.
Yeah. Next week, we're seeing something. I literally just looked at the list and.
Yeah, me too.
I
know next week, maybe there's like a Superman documentary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I was thinking either. The Substance or Transformers 1. I'd rather see The Substance.
Yeah, it's on my list, so let's do that.
Cool. Because I can take Kellen to Transformers.
Yeah.
So yeah. So next week we'll see The Substance. Yeah, should be fun. So until next week, we'll see you at the movie.
Real nerd knows you shot.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!